Good evening, everyone. Can I be heard all the way to the back? Okay, sounds like it. My name is Robert Garrison. I'm the chairman of the Johnson County Republican Party, and I'm calling this meeting to order at 5:35, I believe, on December the 1st. And we're going to begin first with our invocation. I've asked Craig Wetterman to do that honor for us, and I'll turn it up a little bit. Craig, use that mic, please.
Father, thank you for this time that we can spend together to operate on the business of our county, to our representatives, and Lord, we ask you that you'll give us a clear mind and a clear heart as we look, as we choose the potential candidates for the office of clerk. We ask for you to do all things in your name. Amen.
Richard Tass is going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our secretary is getting our roll call sheet. A couple of little minor details. If we look like sometimes we're kind of stumbling, this is the first time I think Johnson County's had to do a special meeting of this nature in about 12 years. So I might correct me, but that's about how long ago is when Senator John Schiffer passed away. So it's not something that we're very experienced at. And so there may be little blips, but we will do our very best on that aspect. For the roll call.
Can I ask you a favor? Could you speak more directly into the microphone? Because I'm getting like a reverberation or something, and I can't understand
what. Is this better? Thank you. Too loud? Okay. Jim is always never loud enough. He always leaves his ear. Hearing aids home. On the roll call, I would ask that the committee members, your name is called, you'd either answer present or here. If you're holding a proxy for another member, when that person's name is called, just say present or here by proxy. That'll let us know who's here, and if someone's not here, we won't hear from them. So we'll now go to Secretary Hope to do this.
Precinct 1015, John Hansen.
Here.
Precinct 1015, Brian Lyon. Precinct 214, Craig.
Present.
214, Lisa Moore. Precinct 31, Michael Madden.
Here.
Precinct 31, Marilyn Conley.
Here.
Precinct 32, Bill Novotny.
Here.
Precinct 33, Norman Lee Sanford.
Here.
Precinct 34, John Hockett. Precinct 35, Randy Moses.
Here.
Precinct 35, Joanne Pearson. 3-6, Harvey Crow.
Here.
3-6, Hannah Hulick. Precinct 3-8, Christy Washington.
Here.
Precinct 4-7, Jim Gampedro.
Here.
Gampedro. Precinct 4-7, Ray Klein.
Here.
Precinct 4-7, Marilyn Novotny.
Here.
Precinct 47, Linda Greenham. Precinct 48, Stephen Laird. Precinct 48, Robert Garrison.
Here.
Precinct 48, Liberty Poley. Precinct 59, Richard Tass.
Here.
Precinct 59, Jenny Worker.
Here.
Precinct 610, Tom Knapp.
Here.
Precinct 811, Nathan Williams.
Here.
Precinct 811, Sally Ramsbottom.
Here by proxy.
Okay. Precinct 912, David Freckler. And Precinct 912, Sherry.
Here.
For Executive Chairman, Richard Tass.
Here.
And for Chairwoman, Kara Peterson. And for, for Vice Chairman, Tom Knapp. And Chairman Robert Garrison.
I'm here.
Treasurer Mike Wallover.
Mr. Chairman, Lisa Moore is here.
Okay, the chair recognizes the arrival of Lisa Moore from 214. So do you have that? Okay. Okay, so 22. So from the secretary's roll call, we have 25 of the precinct committee member and executive officers present. A majority will be 13. You counted 24? Did you get Lisa when she showed up? Can you double check? It's one of those gray areas. The concern or question is the bylaws are kind of interesting. The chairman has a vote, and I'm also a precinct committee person. I can only vote to break a tie, and I won't be voting for that because there won't be any ties tonight, I know. So we'll use 24, and it'll still be 13. As I mentioned when we opened, this is a unique opportunity to fill a vacancy on a candidate-elect, the clerk of Johnson County-elect. Most of the time, filling a position like this is someone that's happens, I'll use the most recent one at the state level, the Secretary of State, when he became a judge. The State Central Committee went through a similar process. Public Instruction about 9 months ago had one. It's been a long time since we've done it, and doesn't happen too often that it occurs on a position before they're sworn in. I've talked to a few people, and they're scratching their head trying to remember when it's happened. It's probably happened, it's just that how often does it happen? So we're in some new ground for us. We hope that everything will go smoothly. We have five candidates that we will be hearing from tonight. The process is that the central committee, the ones that are on the roll call, will be doing the voting on the ballots to select three of the five individuals. Those names will be referred to the Board of Commissioners of Johnson County. They will conduct their process of interviews and other details, and from that, they will select the county clerk that will be sworn in January with the other county officials. One of the things that made it very interesting was the fact that we were notified just the week before Thanksgiving. That made it hard for everybody to scramble. I happen to remember that the Buffalo Bulletin moved their deadlines for advertising and particularly legal notices up by from Monday to Friday, so we had to get that in early. If we hadn't, I'm not sure what would have happened, because with the weekly newspaper, there wasn't going to be 2 days to notice a meeting properly. So we scrambled, and everyone's been very helpful, very interesting, and we're appreciative of everyone here tonight. Next on the roll, or on the agenda, is to approve the agenda as it is printed for our committee. Is there a motion to accept the agenda? Motion by Richard. Is there a second? Ray Klein. Any discussion on the agenda? Hearing none, the chair will call the question on approving the agenda. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the agenda is accepted. Next on the agenda is the presentation and adoption of floor rules. This is a two-page document. Everyone's had a copy of that emailed to them. Hopefully, I know that there have been issues with email. I email myself every time I send one to everyone, and one of my providers is Google Mail, and I found mine in the spam box. It doesn't even like me. So the proposed rules of procedure for selecting three individuals to be forwarded to the Johnson County Board of Commissioners is before you. Is there a motion to accept?
I move.
Okay, thanks, Norman. Motion by Norman. Is there a second? Seconded by Tom Knapp. Are there any questions on the rules? Just for an explanation to everyone, it just sets the guideline of how long we'll allow each of the candidates to speak on the questioning, on the interview, on their introduction, how the vote is going, and those types of things. Okay, having the motion, any other questions or discussion? Hearing none, be sure to call the question. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Wait. You're too late. Any against? Motion carries, and the rules and procedures are approved. Richard, is there something that needs to be amended by motion as opposed to an amendment? Can you use the microphone? I am going to require anyone that wants to address from the committee the use of that microphone. I don't have this one working for some reason, but we want it so that everybody can hear what the question is, what the answers are. Richard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question or comment is that in the order rules, on paragraph 8, item or line item number 6, you say each candidate or his designee make a statement not to exceed 3, and then in quotations you say 4 minutes in length. It either ought to be 3 minutes or 4 minutes.
Are you using the copy that you printed out from the email?
I am.
Okay, you gave me that good correction, and I made it on the ones that were passed out.
Okay.
I listened. I changed. We had a couple of people that were proofing. There were a couple of changes. They were both made. So if you're using something, that was part of the difference. Okay, at this time, the next item on our agenda is the appointment of the teller committee. and I don't have the names in front of me. Do you have them, or do you want to introduce them? Okay, I'm going to ask Hope to introduce our teller committee. Their responsibility tonight will be to give the ballots to the central committee members, pick them up, tabulate them, and give the information to me. And then also one of them is going to also serve as our official timekeeper. You want to introduce them?
Susie Kravinsky, raise your hand back there. And Barb, I know I'm going to say your name wrong. Pelosky. And Brenda Hannigan.
Before moving on, there was one thing that I meant to do two pieces to. We have a couple of our elected officials sitting back in the back. I saw him somewhere. Tucker Ruby is here, wasn't he? There he is. He moved. Stand up, Barry Crago, representative. So just want to recognize those. And then one of the confusion factors, and I wanted to take the time to explain that because people might really be confused. Which group is sitting before us as a central committee? It is the committee that was elected in 2021 because their term of office extends or runs through the swearing in of the new committee that was elected in August. So this is the elected people from 2021 who will be leaving office. Some have been re-elected for the next term beginning in January. And if there are people who are newly elected or re-elected, I would like you just to stand. They've had input. They've gotten confused with me because, well, am I supposed to be there or which group? You know. So it's been an interesting experience. So if you're newly elected or re-elected to the next precinct, please stand. Thank you. So they take office in the first Monday in January. Okay, so the next thing that we're going to do is ask our candidates to come forward. I'm going to call them up by name. I've got one person that may be late because of driving from Gillette.
Mr. Chairman, before we do that, can I speak?
Yes. Chair recognizes Bill Novotny.
Mr. Chairman, as chair of the county commission and also a precinct person, under Wyoming state statute, I could participate in this process and represent my precinct, but out of abundance of caution, I'm going to recuse myself from this process. Unfortunately, the committee woman for 3-2, Susan Harriet, had passed away and had not been replaced, so our precinct will not be represented, but I will be recusing myself from this process, so good luck to everyone.
Committeeman Bill, thank you so much for that and the words. The chair does recognize that Brenda Lane has joined us from precinct 10-6. So that'll change from 24 to 25, and we're still a half a person, so it's still 13 for a majority. And Bill has left, so now we're back down to 24. Thanks for the pointer, Marilyn. It is hard to keep track of every movement. It does affect it. You know, I think I would like to also recognize one thing. I don't know if it was heard. Our 4-7 precinct, one of the committee women is Linda Greeno, and that is why Marilyn is carrying her proxy, that as a commissioner, she also stepped aside. Just from the appearance, we are trying our very dead level best at every level of this process, from the this committee to the Board of Commissioners, to make sure that there are no questions as to what we're doing or why. It's been a really interesting event, I can and just almost write a book. And if anyone wants to be bored, I'll tell you more about it, but I'm not going to. I'm going to ask the individuals that we have that are candidates to come up forward in a minute when I call your name. We're going to draw names from a hat, and I've just got a piece of paper. I'll grab that real quick. Yes, sir. Four of the candidates are present right now. The fifth one should be here in just a few minutes. She works in Campbell County and is driving across the dark prairie to be here. So our candidates, in no particular order, will be Jody Telkamp. Jody, if you'd like to come up. And what we're going to do is, once we've just drawn the hats and know who's going to be speaking in which order, we're going to sequester them. They're going to be outside. They won't hear what someone else says. It'll be just an individual type of situation on that. The next person that I'd like to ask to come forward would be Shane Edwards. Or Shan, I'm sorry. Next is Isabella DeWald. Then we have Jackie Camino. And our candidate that is still in transportation from Gillette is Darcy Goney. Norman, is it possible for your hat to be removable? We're going to put the names in here and draw them out of your hat. Yeah, just go in and Norman can draw for us. First.
The number would be Isabel first. Jody second.
And you're getting this, are you? So what's going to happen from our rules, and part of this is to give them the information too, is that as we sequester, we'll bring them in one at a time in the order. We're going to do an introduction that I'll have to look and see. I think it's 4 minutes. Someone help me real quick. An introduction of 4 minutes. And then after that introduction, we're going to send you back out. We'll go through each of the introductions. We'll take a bit of a recess to finish up some questions, and we'll bring you back one at a time to answer several questions. Each one will be a timed response. So, if you'll go with the Talent Committee, they're going to escort you away for a bit. There's some chairs out in the hallway back here in front of the band room, if you know where that is. Oh, just go out, turn right. There's some chairs and tables out there. You can just sit out there. Does anyone on the committee have any questions about the process? Just to make sure that we've ironed them out. So Isabel is first. No, we're going to do it two steps. Which one of the tellers? Barb, can you ask Isabella DeWall to come in and join us for her piece. And who was doing my timer?
Brenda.
Brenda. You want to come up for the timer portion? Yeah, come on up here.
What we're actually
going to do is when we have a timer, there we've got a stopwatch, we've got a 30-second warning to give them, and a stop, so that they'll know, and we will keep track of that. And we've got a chair for you right here. Isabel, come on up.
So Isabel, what we would like is you have 4 minutes to give an introduction about yourself or you want to say.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Isabella DeWald, and I'm originally from Germany. I came here in 2010 when my husband left the military, and we made Wyoming, especially Buffalo, our home. My husband was born and raised here. I used to work at the clerk's office in 2019 until 2020. I worked there a year and 8 months, and because of COVID, I had to leave. At this point, I had to put my family as a priority. Because I have 2 school kids, I didn't really know what's going to happen with COVID. Are we going to be back on a lockdown and so on? Otherwise, I would be still there. I pretty much did most of the responsibilities that the clerk does now, besides budgeting and some other things. But I was recording all the documents, I was doing the titles, I was responsible for EFTs and some other paperwork. So I know the job that has to be done in that office. That's why I'm going to give it a try and see if I would be the right fit for this job. When I go back into the office, I really don't have to relearn a lot. A lot of things did not change, like making the titles and so on. There's a lot of things that are still the same. Of course, the state throws us always something. So once we know how something works, the state comes up with something new. So that would be something I would have to learn, plus some responsibilities that the current clerk does.
Thank you, Isabella.
Thank you.
Can you get Jody? Jody?
She was quite a bit taller.
Okay.
So, Jody, we'd like to welcome you to speak to the committee. We have a timer, but we'll give you a 30-second warning before your 4 minutes is up. And it's now your microphone.
Good evening. I appreciate this opportunity to be able to present myself to you in consideration of the vacant county clerk's position. I am a resident of Johnson County and a registered Republican. I currently work at the Johnson County Courthouse for the Commissioners. Sure. I work in the Commissioner's office, and I've been there. I've just completed one full year. During that time, I did work in the county clerk's office for a period of 5 months, learning the processes there. But I have a lot more experience than just with Johnson County. I spent 15 years with the Campbell County Fire Department, and there I did governmental accounting. I developed the $2 million budget plus the capital budget, and I did accounts payable. I did process payroll. I was also the liaison for the Joint Powers Fire Board. I was the official record keeper and made sure that the minutes were published. And then I also, during that time, I did get certified in human resources. I currently hold a senior professional in human resources and would like to bring that to Johnson County because I think some of that, there's room for improvement with human resources with the county. I've learned that the main thing with human resources is to mitigate risk. I'm very adept with all the employment laws and know how they apply to employee situations. And I look forward to your consideration.
Thank you, Jody. Do we know if Darcy has arrived yet? Can you ask Shan to join us? Shan Edwards, thank you. Let's go ahead and bring her, give her a minute to catch her breath, and I'm going to take a 2 minute break and walk back there and explain what's going on to her. And so we'll stand in recess for 2 minutes. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Stay close to the mic so it'll record out for everybody.
Okay.
So name is Darcy Goni. I see you guys have my resume. I'm hoping you have my resume in front of you. Yes. So closer. Okay. I'm just going to give you a brief overview of myself for those of you that don't know me, professionally and then personally, and then we'll dive into some other stuff a little later on here. I graduated from Buffalo High School in 1995. It took me a little while to figure out what I wanted to do when I was a grown-up, so I spent about 7-8 years in college before I settled on business administration and accounting. I graduated from Montana State University. I then spent several years here locally working for CPAs. I worked for Dennis Lawrence, Dooley & Jelly CPAs, and very briefly for Steve Adamai before opening my own tax practice, and that's when I figured out that I really don't like taxes. And I then switched over to the governmental and nonprofit sector of my profession, and I worked on the finance team for Sherry Memorial Hospital for about a year before I got an offer, every little soccer girl's dream, to be one of 50 CEOs for a state soccer organization. I did that for 4 years. And then my husband and I got kind of a cool opportunity. My father was getting ready to retire and wanting to step back a little bit, and he wanted us to buy into his ag enterprise. So we were both raised in ag and jumped at the opportunity. Unfortunately, we had to move to North Dakota. We were always going to come back. Unfortunately, the real estate market in North Dakota is not the same as Wyoming, and it took us a couple years to get that place sold. So we just got that sold in the spring and got moved back here to Wyoming this summer. And obviously, I ran for county clerk and was not successful, and then that's okay. And then I took a job working for Campbell County Treasurer's Office in September as their county manager, and that's where I just came from today. On a personal note, that's kind of my career, quickly. On a personal note, I married a Vic Goni, little Vic Goni. He has Powder River Fencing. He's been here his whole life. Like I said, we have a small ag operation down in southern Johnson County. We raise registered Black Angus bulls and white-faced sheep, and we love to hunt and fish and camp in the bighorns. I spent years with ladies in the garden club. I help out every chance I can when Nabo comes to town. That's part of being married to a bass man. And let's see. We have two kids. Gavin's 17. He wrestles, plays football, rodeos. And my daughter's 23. We just had our first grandbaby. And that's me in a nutshell.
Thank you,
Doctor. Did I make it? Okay.
Now we can take Shane.
Hello, my name is Shan Edwards, and I moved to Buffalo in 1993. I have thoroughly enjoyed living here, working here, raising my family. My husband is Bill Edwards, and my kids, Heidi Houck, Randy Houck, and Dustin Edwards and Crystal Smith. So I feel like I have said a lot of these things before, but I was going to try to shake it up a little bit. But I feel like I have a lot of business experience. I have a lot of personnel management experience. And We've been business owners in Johnson County and Buffalo since 2004. So I've been able to do a lot of things through what many of you may be familiar. We have Wolverine Roustabout Service, and we still do, although it's sunsetted. It's not doing what it used to do. But over the years, collectively, I was trying to think how I could put that into some sort of perspective. But during the course of our work, both here and in North Dakota, we did about $27 million worth of work. And my job was to manage the business of business, the day-to-day, but also the financial management pieces, everything from the budgeting, the receivables, the payables, the taxes, everything that goes into managing a business. And so in addition to that, you know, the personnel management piece was huge. And so over that time, we did about $13 million in payroll. And we're so proud to say that most of that, those workers were from here, from Johnson County. We did have workers that worked in North Dakota or lived in North Dakota, and one from Minnesota and a couple from Sheridan. But the lion's share of them were from here, and we always were really proud of that. So in terms of my experience with business management and personnel management, I feel like it's pretty broad. It was everything from safety programs, DOT programs, compliance was really big with OSHA, and all of the things that we did in oil and gas. And so a lot of the variety, I guess you could say, always needing to be ready to learn something new, take on all of the different responsibilities that come in working in an industry like that. So we've also had some other businesses, and I've also worked in the nonprofit sector, which is pretty rewarding in itself. Since 1998, Healthy Communities, Healthy Youth, and the Community Resource Center has been a really big part of my life. And we've been, you know, I've been really super excited about the things that it accomplished over the years. But it itself is also slowing down and not doing as much as it used to. So I work full-time at Superior Automotive with Gary Spade. And that's been a wonderful place to be, and I sure enjoyed it, and it's been very rewarding. And it's that's what I've been doing these days, and I'm excited about the opportunity to talk again about the clerk's position. It seems like we just got through all of this, and we all moved on, and here we are. So, anyway, thank you very much.
So next coming up will be Jackie Camino, and then following that, just so you know, we'll be taking about a 15-minute break, recess, part of which time we're going to ask Central Committee members if you've come up with questions that you haven't already submitted, that you've still got time to give us a couple of questions and we can choose from them. So all the way up front here with me,
hi, my name is Jackie Camino, and I'm not a native of Buffalo. I'm a native of Wyoming. I came here about 12 years ago. I married a sheep rancher here. He thought it'd be kind of cool if I came to live with him. So I did, and had a recent career change and was working in the mortgage business and got laid off because of the interest rates. And this little job in the clerk's office popped up. And it was very interesting to me, so I applied, and boy, did I get my eyes open as to what the clerk's office does for the community, and what a challenge and an exciting place to work, because we're busy all the time. And getting to start and work in the election and have experience working with the general election was, I believe, would be extremely beneficial. I would have to say that I can't imagine that anybody that's popping in to apply for this position is actually, could say they're qualified, because there is so much to learn. And I don't profess to know the majority of what Vicki Edelman does, but I do feel like I'm positioned to work with her and get up to speed prior to her departure. But more than anything, I just want to be more involved in this community. Like I said, I've been here 12 years, and I have commuted to to Sheridan for the whole time. And so this is a great opportunity for me to get to know Buffalo and get to know the people of Johnson County and be more involved in my community. Right now, what I've been doing is preparing titles, preparing marriage licenses, working with the election, recording documents, and the list goes on and on as to what that office does. It's a well-oiled machine. It's a very cohesive environment. And as I said in my letter of introduction, I'm really committed to a smooth transition. Whether I would be chosen for the position or any of those other ladies that are out in the hallway, it's very important to me that we have a smooth transition, and I would be very supportive of what they do, them taking over the office. But I really believe that I would do an excellent job. I think I'm positioned really well to provide an excellent transition. I know I'm qualified to do the job. My business background has been very extensive. I've worked in the corporate world for 45 years, and this basically isn't tons different. The county is a big business, and there's nothing really political about the position. And so I hope you could consider giving me an opportunity to represent the county, and I believe that I would just really do an excellent job for the county and the Republican Party. I think that's all I have to say.
So we're going to let them all go back out. We will take a recess. I'm going to make it 10. If you've on the committee and you've got a question that we haven't gotten that you would like to have asked of the candidates, we've got a couple of questions that we can still add in. So please see me. Otherwise, stretch your legs real quick, and then we'll get back to the questioning period.
Oh, sure. Oh. Yeah. across the country.
Where was it?
It was to nationalize same-sex marriage.
We have a bunch of people on there that weren't on there.
This is a 2-minute warning for the committee to return to their chairs. The chair now calls the session back into order. This next portion will take the candidates in the same order that we have listed in the order they appeared on their introductions. We have 5 questions that they will be asked to respond to. The response time on each question is...
2 minutes.
Does it say 2 minutes?
Yep.
Thank you. There are so many moving parts that I cannot remember right now. So I'm glad we have people helping. So... Barb, can you ask... Isabella DeWall to come in, please. And we need our timekeeper back. You don't need to run, we have time. You're the official time, we can't run ahead of you.
You said 3 minutes?
Two.
Two.
2 minutes.
Every minute counts.
Yeah. So Isabel, what we'll do is I've got five questions. Yeah. And I'll ask you a question, and the time will start when you first start speaking. So my time doesn't count against it. So the first question, what do you feel is the most important aspect of the Johnson County Clerk's job?
Oh boy, that's a good question, because the job of the clerk is so wide that pretty much everything is important, from budgeting to elections to little things like making sure that the titles are done right, that everything is right, put away, the documents are set up right, the communication between the other clerks, the communication within the office, the communications with the other offices around. Like, the clerk's office works hand-in-hand with the treasurer's office. They also provide the assessor's office with documents. So there's just so much that the clerk cannot be just focused on one thing. I think one of the things is budget, when it's time for budget time. But there's just so much to do. And elections are the main focus when it's time for elections, and there's still work to do after the elections.
Thank you. There's your mindset. Based on your work experience and or the knowledge of the clerk's office, how much training do you think you would need to start coming up to speed as the county clerk?
So when I started working at the clerk's office for my position, and this was one of the base positions, it took 3 months to learn everything. But you still don't know it. So you still don't know everything, because everything changes all the time. So a lot of things did not change when it comes to documents and some titles. So I would just need to kind of refresh my knowledge, see if something changed, and then it may be, well, I think it will probably take a little bit to learn all of Vicky's responsibilities, because that's really a lot. But I think that I have the knowledge of all the basics, and I would just need to learn her responsibilities. So I hope that I could get it going as quick as possible with putting a lot of time and effort into it.
The next question, Isabel, is how would you handle a disgruntled customer and conflicts with the staff?
Well, this is not something that I have not experienced yet, because in that office you have people that are coming in and they're in a time crunch, and sometimes they don't have the right paperwork, they're missing something, or something is just not right, and they go over to the treasurer's, and the treasurer's tell them, like, oh, well, you need this and this, and they come back again to their clerk's office. So the best thing is just to take time and to make sure that when this person comes in all frustrated, to see what is the frustration. Just to go and talk, and maybe just take them to the side and say, hey, we're really trying our best, and we're trying to get you all the resources, and we understand that you're frustrated, because, I mean, sometimes people come in on their lunch break just to get titles done. They don't have time, and we all know time is money nowadays. Just to have a really calm conversation and see what resources we can give them just to get the problem solved, so we don't have any interruptions in the office itself.
Okay, the next question is one from elections. Are you going to purge the voting rolls of people who are deceased and people that have moved out of the area, and how do you do that? Are you going to purge the voting rolls of people who are deceased or people that have moved out of the area? How do you do that process
Well, that's usually somebody in the office is assigned to do that. At this point, I believe it's Jane Carr that does most of the stuff when it comes to the elections. She goes through the papers and she makes sure that the people that are deceased, that are no longer in the system, and make sure that everything goes right. So it is really important for me to be able to give this job to somebody that has knowledge until I learn what we'll need to do with it.
And the final question, and my math, the final question, you ran for the clerk in the primary. What have you learned since then, and why are you running again, or continuing to run?
Well, it was a great experience. I came out of my shell, and I was doing something that I thought that I would never do. I got to know a lot of people in Johnson County, and I made a lot of new friends, I built new relationships, and I think that I, with my knowledge, that I am capable to do this job and to serve Johnson County. And I know that I'm the outsider, and not everybody knows me, and my last name is not out there, but I know that I have the capability to do this with my knowledge and with my heart being here in Johnson County, because when I moved here from Germany, I made Johnson County my home away from home. And it's still, even though I did not get voted in, I mean, it didn't change the fact that I'm still here and dedicated to the citizens of Johnson County. So when this opened up, it took me a while. I was sleeping couple nights on it, and I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? I mean, I still know how to do the job. I just have to learn the extras. So I'll just give it a try.
Thank you, Isabella.
We appreciate it. Next, we'll get Jody Telkamp to come back in. Start off with the first question, easy. What do you feel is the most important aspect of the Johnson County Clerk's job?
Oh, my.
Be close to that mic.
I think the most important aspect of the Johnson County Clerk's office is providing service to the citizens of Johnson County. I look at that office as a service department, and service is intangible because it's really an experience. And so I think that it's going to be important to connect with the people who come in and conduct the business that they come in for in an efficient manner. And then I also think that since they are part of HR, I think it's important to bring that service to the employees of Johnson County as well.
Okay, the next question. Based on your experience level working in the clerk's office or similar offices, how much training do you foresee if you were put into this position? About how long would it take to hit the road running?
I believe I have an advantage there because I currently work at the courthouse. I know the culture of the courthouse. I know the employees of the courthouse. Having worked in the clerk's office for 5 months, I do know how to issue titles. I know how to record legal documents. I am familiar with the numbering system for the vault. And I did help with the election. I worked there during the primary election, and so I was registering voters, and I was helping them with early voting. And so I think I would be able to get up to speed running that office very quickly.
Thank you. Our next question. How would you handle a disgruntled customer in conflicts with the staff?
That's a great question. If So the question, the disgruntled customer with a member of the staff?
It could be either one.
I would invite that customer back to my desk, and I would listen to them, and I always show empathy, and then I would try to figure out what the circumstance is and try to come up with a workable solution. We do have policies to follow. There are statutes to follow, and so you have to combine what is legally required of you along with what the customer needs are. But the end result would be to try to resolve that issue peacefully and to everyone's satisfaction.
Jody, the next question would be kind of a compound one. You didn't run for the clerk during the primary. What prompted you to run now, and what are you looking forward to doing?
I was interested in running for that position when it was vacant or when it was up for election. But I did not run because I am fairly new to Johnson County. Johnson County is not new to me. I've spent 21 years living in Gillette, and my in-laws lived here at the time. So I was over in Buffalo quite frequently. But having only lived in Buffalo for 18 months, my name is not known, and there were 5 candidates on the ballot already, and I just did not think I had a chance. But I am interested in this position because I think I have a lot to offer the county. I think there's changes that can be made in that office to the positive and to the employees of Johnson County and also the citizens. And I would like that opportunity to make some difference to the community.
Okay, Jody, the final question, more a little bit in one particular area of the elections. How would you go about purging the voting rolls for people who are deceased and people that have moved out of this area? Any thoughts?
That's a great question, one I hadn't thought of yet. In all honesty right now, I don't know if I have an answer. I know there's a great resource in the office who has done that. I'm not sure of the process of what would, how to do that. And that is a great question, something I would have to learn.
Good answer. Jody, thank you for
coming up and interviewing all those questions. We'll let you go back to the green room. I don't think it's green, but we'll call it that. So thank you so much. Next, we need Darcy. Welcome back, Darcy. We have 5 different questions that we're going to ask relative to the job or different aspects of the clerk's office. My time doesn't count in asking the question. Your response begins when you start speaking. You'll have 2 minutes. And again, we'll have the 30-second warning and then the stop.
Okay.
So we're going to start off with the easiest one.
Okay.
What do you feel is the most important aspect of the Johnson County clerk's job?
The most important aspect of the Johnson County Clerk's Office is, in my opinion, the fact that the Clerk's Office is the hub of the county. It's my understanding, obviously I don't work in the Clerk's Office currently, but a lot of the human resources goes through the Clerk's Office, so that's your first point of contact with the county. All of the budgets go through the Clerk's Office, so the relationships between the Clerk's Office and every department, special district, the commissioners, the assessor, the treasurer's office, those are the most important components. We are the hub, and
And so I feel like the team within the PERPS office has got to be very cohesive and very informed and cross-trained and ready to go.
Okay. My turn to ask another question. How would you handle a disgruntled customer and conflicts with staff? So that's two groups.
So disgruntled customers, I had plenty of these in my days. Communication is the biggest part of, what's happening? Louder, okay. Communication is the most important part of people that are unhappy. When people are unhappy, most of the time, they just want to be heard. They want you to listen to them, meaningfully listen to them, not just, yeah. They want you to listen and maybe even validate what they're feeling, whether or not you can do something about it or not is a whole different ballgame and is, you know, situation specific. But communication and then also not letting something go. I think things need to be addressed quickly when people are unhappy, especially customers. Obviously, that means stress right away. Sometimes not necessarily at the counter in the clerk's office in front of everyone. You know, there's better ways to handle that. And then with staff. Staff, I have the same approach to staffing. I've managed staff before. I feel like the sooner you nip something in the bud, the better. Usually it's a misunderstanding and there's a compromise that can be met. There's nothing worse than having somebody turn in a resignation because they were unhappy because they couldn't tell you that they were unhappy or they weren't getting along with so-and-so or they didn't want to sit next to somebody or they weren't getting to use their vacation time. And so that, again, communication with staff, evaluations, talking to people, those are all ways to hedge that.
Okay, the next question would be, you ran for the county clerk in the primary, and you're running again. What have you learned, and how does that affect your view?
Okay, that's a good one, right? Okay, I did run, yes. I also ran in 2010 against Vicki, when she and I lost to Vicki as well, so it's not the first time I run for clerk. This would be, I guess, the third time. Maybe it's a charm. So just researching, like it took me a minute. Honestly, this is a tough situation that you guys are in. I feel like it's a tough situation that we're in, just because there's not much time now for transitioning and learning the actual job. That was one of my biggest hesitations, because I'm not somebody that likes to fail. I like to be successful, and I'm concerned about that. But I'm still here. I still think we can get it done. Some of the things I learned. So one thing I didn't know when I was campaigning this summer was how much of the HR that the clerk's office did, just in doing a little talking to other people that work for the county. And so that's, I think, a noted area of improvement, having just onboarded with Campbell County and going through their on-staff training and their benefits package and the training and the people improvement. I really think that's something that we in the clerk's office, or as the county, could do a better job of, is recruiting and educating our people. Let me check my notes real quick here. Yeah, that honestly is probably the only real, like, new thing that's come to light for me. Otherwise, I'm pretty familiar with what the clerk does, budgets, minutes, commissioners, helping all of you find folks. So, noted the minutes there.
Okay. And the final question, Darcy, more of a specific process for elections. Are you going to purge the voting rolls of people? How are you going to purge the voting rolls of people who are deceased or people that have moved out of the area? How would you approach that?
Oh, that's kind of a zinger there. I don't know. I would hope that there's a state statute on the appropriate way to purge that. And I would probably defer to that. That's probably the worst answer you're going to get all night. But honestly, I don't know the answer to that. I would research it and probably defer to our county attorney back there and just make sure that it got done the right way.
Thank you. Thank you for the answer. I'm not going to say whether it's good or bad, but thank you for the answer. Thank you for coming in for our interview questions. We'll let you go back to the green room, and we'll keep proceeding. Thank you. And our teller is getting Shan to join us next. You'll stay there. I'm going to swing that mic back and forth. I have five questions that I'm going to ask, one at a time. And your time for 2 minutes on each question begins when you start speaking. So you can pause and think. So the first question, what do you feel is the most important aspect of the Johnson County Clerk's job?
The most important aspect. Well, combination between, of course, the election process, election integrity, and the guidance there that is given, and I would say the accurate recording of all of the documents and the things that are kept track of there at the clerk's office.
The next question, how would you handle a disgruntled customer? And how would you handle conflicts with staff?
Even temperament is always good. I think when you've worked with lots of different people with lots of different personalities, it's sometimes challenging, and sometimes people do get upset. I've worked the last few years in an automotive shop where sometimes people do get really upset, and all you can do is give them the best information possible, speak the truth, and make sure that they have everything that they need, I guess, at that moment. With staff, I think that respect is really important. Everybody, life happens, and sometimes people do have a hard time. And so on the upside, I think that there's also opportunities to praise when things go well and always make sure to have their a full understanding, I guess, of what they might be going through. And you know, when there's upsettedness, again, that even temperament, I think, is real important.
The next question, based on your experience in the work environment and thinking about the clerk's office, how much training would you foresee needing if you were to step into the job of county clerk?
It's interesting when you've never been a county clerk, it's kind of hard to really foresee exactly all of the things that would come into play. I always have considered myself as a hit-the-ground-running kind of a person in all of the positions that I've been in. You know, I'm not going to say that it's a learn-as-you-go, but I think it's important that you need to have some understanding of what you're getting into and have an ability and know your ability to be able to learn quickly and apply what you've learned. So in all of the things that I've done, I know that I have done that well. A real thorough understanding, at least, of all of the different aspects in terms of business management, like I said, personnel management, and of course there will be things to learn. But that has always been the case. And when you're a business owner and when you are working with a multitude of things that are new, there's always things to learn, and it's important to thoroughly do your research and apply those things. The resources around us are really important, too. There's people there that do have some knowledge and do know what's going on, and I think that as a team, you work together to make sure that everybody has what they need to go forward. And I would expect that there would be some, and I'm assuming this, that there is opportunity to gain some of this knowledge, whether it's from the association or from others that are clerks. I'm sure that there's networking that can happen, too. So there's a lot of things, I think, in terms of being resourceful, which is important, that can happen in this case, especially because of the short notice that we all have now, because we're of course, Those of us that are working, we have to be respectful to our employers and give notice. So there will be an opportunity, though, I'm sure, for anybody who steps into this to appropriately learn the job at a good pace.
So the primary was a couple of months ago. The question is, why did you not run for the clerk in the primary? I'm sorry, you ran for the clerk. I'm sorry. So much more between now and then, you're running again. Or continue.
Well, as most of us, we all moved on. We all figured we were good to go, and we set our plans, and we, especially in my situation with my employer, who's been gracious and kind and very patient, in terms of what I've learned between now and then, is that the question? What I've learned. I think that sometimes we don't know what's going to happen. And with the change in what's happened here, can I just read your question again?
It's reworded a little bit. You ran for the clerk during the primary.
Yep.
And you didn't run away, you're running now. And just supporting why you think this is a good position to run for.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess the thing is what's really important to me is, and one of the things, is election integrity. And so that's probably why I thought I wanted to make sure I put my name back in. I think that it's really important that some of the principles that we stand on, that we hold very important to us, need to also come through with whoever comes through them in that office. And I'm just going to say that. I think it's important that we do have voter ID. I do think it's important that we're paying attention to the crossover voting issues that are coming up, all of those things. I believe people should vote in person when they can, though I thoroughly understand the processes that we have for absentee and early voting. So I think there are some things that are just important to make sure that we pay attention to. And I guess that when I think about the some of the issues we've had with ballot boxes and things like that, I'm not for that. So I guess that's why it's important to me.
Okay.
So the final question, along that line of elections, how would you go about purging the voting rolls of people who are deceased or people that have moved out of the area?
How would I go about that? I don't know what the process is used now. I'm sure that I would be interested in learning how they've been, I guess, doing that now. I know that Vicki has talked about in a previous time when we were at the theater, she was saying that they do have a process for doing this. I'm curious what it is. I'm not quite sure how they're doing it. She mentioned Jane goes through the newspaper and picks out the obituaries, and I don't know if that's the only method, but I can't believe that's the only method that we're relying on. So I think it would be something that clearly needs a full understanding by who obviously is ever, who is going to go into the position. Of course, I would like to learn how they're doing it now. As with everything, I would want to know how they're doing it now and have the opportunity to take a look at the processes. That's one of the things that I guess about me is I'm really, I like to get all kinds of feedback and input, you know, when it comes to management styles. I like to be able to talk to people about, you know, how they have been doing things and how they feel about things. But there's also a time where, you know, the policies and the procedures that are in place are there for a reason and have to be followed because that is just the way that it is, unless it was to be changed. So when I think about changing these roles, I guess I would have to do that. Look at how it's being done, figure out how others are doing that who are more effective, and then making sure that it's accurate as possible because that is really important.
Okay, Shan, thank you so much for being here for the interview questions. And we'll send you back to the green room and we'll have one more. Jackie on this portion on the questions. We have five questions, and I'll ask each one, and then the response time is 2 minutes on a question, and your time will start when you start speaking.
Okay.
And our timekeeper has a 30-second warning and a stop warning.
So,
I thought about that with the racket, but we decided not. So the first question, Jackie, what do you feel is the most important aspect of the Johnson County clerk's job?
Well, that's actually a very difficult question. I think that probably depends on who you are and what you need from the clerk's office. I think, obviously, the election is extremely important, but outside of elections, the everyday duties of the clerk are what would be most important to the residents of Johnson County, because they're in charge of the payroll for the entire county. They're in charge of paying all the bills for the entire county. It's basically a big business. So I would think that the everyday running of the business is the most important part of what the clerk's office does. Is running a tight ship, running a tight business.
Okay.
The next question, how would you handle a disgruntled customer, and how would you handle conflicts with staff? It's really kind of two questions.
I think I'm pretty good at conflict resolution. I've got quite a lot of experience with that. With my previous life, I worked in investments, trusts, and settling estates. And if you've ever been in the middle of a family settling an estate, there's a little bit of conflict there. Usually, how I handle that is I try to be calming. Calm the individual. If we simply cannot get anywhere, I usually suggest that we take a few minutes, cool off. Why don't we step back, and I'll give you a call tomorrow, and we'll see if we can work it out. If it's something like that, if it's short time resolution, the most important part is to be calming, and that is to try to settle the situations, get the facts, and show compassion, but yet be firm. So it's kind of like the iron fist and the velvet glove type situation. As far as coworkers, it's just a difficult situation when people can't get along, but it's important that the most important part is to communicate about it and not have a disgruntled employee remain disgruntled. You need to sit down, ask them what their issue is, see what we can do, and work together to try and present or come up with a cohesive solution to the situation.
Based on your experience in the workforce and thinking about the clerk's office, how would you go about training, and how much would you foresee needing?
Well, that's a pretty general question. My experience with being trained is that, first of all, you have to have somebody that knows what they're doing training you, but it is basically hands-on training. What I do in the clerk's office, there isn't a class that you could take to learn to do it. You have to have somebody that's experienced in the office showing you, willing you to give you the reins, but not necessarily showing you, but have you do it. And it's kind of like I can ride with you out in the car to a rancher's house and not really know how we got there because I wasn't paying that full attention. But if I'm driving and you're giving me instructions, I retain it. And so basically, my solution to training is you just have to jump in and do hands-on. You may not have all the information, but you need to know where you can get the answers to get through it. That's specific.
Okay, Jackie, the next question. You didn't run for clerk in the primary. What prompted you to take on this challenge today?
Well, I have a leave of senses for a few minutes probably, but actually, you know, I thought of the clerk's office as being a political position, and I'm not a political person. I have my own views, but I never ever saw myself running for office. And it was when I got into the clerk's office and got hands-on experience as to what they do and what they offer to the community and how important that job is, it really caught on. I just kind of suddenly had a sense of feeling that this is where I belong. This is what I've been looking for. And even in the beginning, when Kate first left, that day when we got the news that she was not going to be taking over, we really felt like we had sort of been kicked in the belly because she had been in there, she'd worked with us some, we were really looking forward to it. But more than anything, our first issue was, is she okay? And then we had to regroup and figure out, okay, how are we going to do it? And I just thought that let me back up a little bit. I don't understand that this is a political position. That's probably not what a Republican committee wants to hear. But I just really didn't know what the job was about. So quite honestly, it had never occurred to me to run for the position. But now that I know what it's about and I know the importance of the duties, those are very, 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 very big shoes to fill of Vicky's. But she encouraged me to jump in. She felt like I was capable of doing the job. And with the help of her and Jane and the other staff in the office, you know, we're just all going to work together and continue to serve the county.
And the final question is a little more towards the question on elections. How would you go about deciding how are you going to purge the voting rolls of people who are deceased or people that have moved out of the area?
Wow, that's a pretty technical question that I honestly have to tell you that I don't know. I don't know exactly how that works, how we do that. Jane is the one that is our lead election person. And she handles that, and that is not something that I had the opportunity to work with when I worked on the election. So I just have to say I don't have enough knowledge to probably answer that question.
That is the end of the questions.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jackie. So at this time, we've heard the interview questions from our five candidates. And while we're getting the tellers ready with a couple of ballots and stuff, I'm just going to say, particularly to the committee, we're not going to take a recess unless you ask for it. But stand up for a second. Stretch your legs if you need to. And then we'll get to the challenge of voting. What we're going to do is that each committee member will receive one ballot piece of paper unless you're holding a proxy. If you have a proxy, you'll have two tags. Now, I've got two for a different reason. I'm only voting once. The process that we'll use, we have the five names. You write three names on the ballot on this first round. If you put four names down, your ballot will be discarded. If you put less than three, you're okay. Three is what we're looking for. What will happen is then that the teller committee will take the ballots, they'll tally the votes for each one of the people, and come back and give those to me. What will happen is that if an individual receives 50% or more, which was 13 ballot votes, they will be one of the ones going forward to the county commissioners. If we happen to have two, we can do two. But we'll probably have to have a couple of rounds. Each time it will be the person that was just voted will be gone, and we'll have a fewer number. But we're looking for a 50% consensus that goes forward. Any questions from the committee on the process? Can you use the mic, Corinne? You write on the first round your top three picks. The three that you think are the most qualified of our five candidates to move forward. And I'm going to ask our teller committee members if you'll come up and collect the ballots from the people, then you can do the tallying on it. Come on up. Don't be bashful. The committee will stay at recess until the tally is done, so let's take 5 minutes and then hopefully be about ready.
I wasn't sure, but thank you.
I had talked to a co-worker. Sorry, I didn't respond to you. Sorry. barely made it. I got home from work because I'm like, what time is it? He's like, oh, it's only like, this is 5 till. It was almost 10 after when I went out there. I'm like, oh, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Get the committee members back to their places. So the results from the first round of voting, trying to think how I want to read it. My job is to let you know how many each person got. I'm going to take it in the order that they spoke. Are you going to write the numbers up for me? Okay. So, Isabella DeWald had 4 votes. Jody Telkamp had 19. Darcy Goni had 21. Shan Edwards had 9. And Jackie Camino had 21. We had 25 people. 13 was a majority vote. 3 of them were over 13. We have our 3 nominees to go forward on the first round. Are there any questions of the, from the committee?
Yeah,
you're right. We're not done quite yet. Barb, can you ask our candidates to come back in? Before announcing the results, I wanted to say a couple of things. First, let's give the candidates a round of applause. You know, it's tough to be up here, particularly some of the questions, and you might think, well, those were weird questions. Well, some of them, I don't think we expected you to know the answer. The question is, how do you lean on the things and find the answers? If anyone walked in knowing all the answers, we wouldn't have, it would have been totally flabbergasted. So I want to say thank you. There was no wrong answer. You all did wonderfully well in saying, even I don't know is a good answer. So thank you for that. Now for the part that you really would like to know. I have, so I don't forget it, 3 envelopes, one for the, each of the 3 nominees. You get to pick. They're not identified, but they are your instructions for going before the county commissioners for their process and their times. I don't even know the contents. But we have 3 candidates, and the easy way is to grab my page because I'm not going to go backwards. Try to go in the order that they spoke. Got it. three of our candidates got over 50%, which is what we have as the threshold. We'd like to recognize as going forward as nominees from the Johnson County Republican Party, Jody Telkamp, Darcy Goni, and Jackie Camino. So if the three of you will step up here, you can draw an envelope. I don't know what's behind door one, two, or three. No, I can guarantee you it's not a new guard. The contents are your instructions for the next phase, which is the Board of Commissioners. And I'd like again to say thank you to each of you for the effort, for everyone that's been here, for everyone that's helped the committee. The last 15 days have been interesting. So thank everyone for doing this. Hopefully we won't see it for another decade. So who knows, but again, thank you. Before you leave, I need a motion to adjourn. Marilyn Novotny, and seconded by Ray Klein. All in favor?